who was called the Trojan Warrior. It's right here on top of the right here on top of the, should get one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right here on top of the Yarmouk. We're discussing, right here on top of the handout. We're going to work our way backwards. We're going to take a look here on the second side where we have the Mishnah. And then we're going to work our way back to the first side. Starting with the Mishnah. These are the things which are originally belonged to the Kochavim, and they're Surim and they are forbidden for us. But although we're not allowed to adjust them, nonetheless, they're not forbidden in deriving benefits and pleasure. What are they? Cholav shechava avi kochavi, milk which was milked by a guy from a cow, and a Jew didn't see him milk the cow. Okay, so that's the first case. The first thing we have in the Mishnah, which is the only thing which concerns us this evening, is cholav, that cholav cannot be milked by a cow, but by a guy, unless a Jew saw the actual milking process. Says the Gemara, skipping down. Cholav l'may nechushay. With milk, what's the problem? In yishlumi chlufay, it's because we're afraid that he's going to switch good milk for bad milk. In other words, kosher milk, cow's milk, let's say, for camel milk. Chiver tamei. Milk which is kosher, which comes from a cow, is white. Tamei. Milk which comes from a camel is yarok, is green. So it's recognizable. In Mishum Arule, if you're going to say that we're afraid that it's going to mix the camel milk in the cow milk, let us solidify the milk. Let's curdle it by putting in rennet and making it into cheese. What good does that do? The Amar Mar said, Cholav Tor Ome, only milk which is kosher becomes cheese. Cholav Tome Ein Ome. Milk which is not kosher does not become cheese, either because it has too low or too high a fat content. There's a, if you take a look two pages down, you'll see. Two pages down on the back here, there's a fat table of the fat contents of various different milks from the Shubhas Malami Loyal, Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman. And he has the table is German, but you get the idea. It says cow's milk is 3.7% fat and 3.4% caffeine and albumin. I didn't know there was caffeine in milk, but I guess there is. And similar amount of milk is to be found in a similar amount of fat is to be found in Siegen, which are goats, and Schafen, which are sheep. But you get down into the Esel, which is the donkeys, and the Ferret, which are the horses, then you see a severe drop in the amount of fat content. You get back up to the Schwein, and you see that pigs, the fat content is almost double that of regular milk. So all those types of milk don't make cheese. I'm not sure exactly why pig's milk doesn't make cheese. Part of the problem, since there's more fat, it should make better cheese. But for some reason, pig's milk, it's brought down, in fact, that pig's milk, for several reasons, cannot be used in cheese production. So therefore, the Gemara gives an etzah. If we have a chashash of tummy milk, let us solidify the milk. And that'll serve a dual purpose. A, if it all solidifies, we knew that it's good milk. B, if it doesn't all solidify, then whatever is not solid is the tummy milk. We'll throw out the tummy milk, which didn't solidify. What's the problem? Right? So that's what the Gemara says. We can have a way of ascertaining whether there's tummy milk there or not. Says the Gemara, either kavoy lekina, if you want it for milk, ain't a chanami, you could do that. Achamaiskina, what are we talking about here? The kavoy lekamcha, you want the milk raw. You want the milk to serve as part of a dish of milk and bread. So therefore, you can't make it a cheese. If you can't make it a cheese, the only answer you have is what? The only answer you have is to know that a Jew actually milked it. Otherwise, you have no way of knowing that it's actually good milk, which is kosher.
That would indicate that other milks are white also.
No. They're not white. But the thing is, even though they're green, nonetheless, if you mixed a little bit of camel milk or donkey milk into a lot of cow milk, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You're right. If it would be by itself, we'd be able to tell, but it's not necessarily by itself. So says Gemara, therefore, in that case, there's no way of checking out. And since there's no way of checking out, therefore, we have to assume that it's problematic. There might be some tummy milk mixed in with your Torah milk. Let's take a little bit. We'll take a little bit. We'll say we have a few gallons of milk. We'll take a pint. And we'll take a pint and see if it becomes cheese. And then we'll know if the milk is Torah milk or not Torah milk. Says Mark, came the Torah nami ikonasuit lo kaime. Even in Torah milk, there's always some leftover liquid, whey, in the process, which doesn't solidify. Since there's always leftover whey, leko make him a lot of milk. We won't know, in fact, whether there was tummy milk or not tummy milk here, because there's always going to be some whey left over. So the cheese process is not effective in determining whether there was tummy milk or not tummy milk, unless you make the whole thing into cheese. If you only make part of the cheese, there's no way of determining whether it was tummy or tar, because there was always going to be some whey left behind. All you'll do at best is discard all milk, because what will happen is you'll always have whey left, and therefore you'll assume that all milk is problematic. Right? So therefore, this is not an eitzah. Says the Gemara, Vibaisemeris, I'll tell you, I feel the same with the Kabbalah and the Gvina, even if you want the milk in order to make cheese, you're still going to have a problem. Why? Because of what we're saying, Iko de Kai Bene Aste. Right? Even if you take the milk for cheese, you have the problem that there's always going to be a little bit of liquid left in notches in the cheese. Cheese is not totally smooth. Right? We buy it smooth because we get it from the store. But cheese is not totally smooth, and there's always going to be a little bit of milk in the crevices and cracks, the nooks and crannies. So therefore, cheese might also be problematic. Okay, we'll see in a moment if that's actually true, halacha or not. But in the meantime, we see a very important yisum. Cholov must be cholov yisrael. That's the a priori assumption. It's not a chumrah. Comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says milk must be milked by either a Jew or a guy when Yisrael is watching it. Okay? That is,
but it's only a kashrus issue. It's a kashrus issue.
No, as a matter of fact, we'll see.
On this Gemara, it seems like it's only kashrus.
It's a kashrus issue, but we'll see later on. Well, why don't we just explain it now? Lemaisa, midoraisa, there is no problem. Obviously, it's only the Rabbana. Right? Chol Yisrael is only Allah Rabbana. Rabbana Nasr, the milk of goy. Now, if there would be a true suffix that there is tummy milk here, then it should be a suffix deraisa, a question of an issue deraisa involved. From the fact that we only see it as being with Rabbana, it must be that on the deraisa level, there's no problem. Why is that so? Because since tummy milk is a different color than tahar milk, if you have white milk in front of you, I can assume that any possible ulcer milk is butter broth. It's all been negated in the mixture. So really, from a kashrus point of view, you're right and you're not right. It is a kashrus question, but it's not a question of kashrus d'oraisa. It's a special chumrah which Rabbanan came and said, even though d'oraisa, you don't have a problem, nonetheless, stay away. Lest maybe someday there might be a problem. Somehow, stay away. Just stay away from the milk. Don't take any chances. Okay, that's going to come back later on, so that's why I wanted to make that point. Now, that's the issue with cholov. Chazal after cholov. What happens with cheese? There's another issue in Torah, a separate Rabbana made, called Gvinas Yisrael. There's cholov Yisrael and Gvinas Yisrael. And cheese must be made by Jews, or made under Jewish supervision. There's a chumrah which says that the factory has to be owned by Jews. Some people are machmir that way. But at the very least, there has to be Jewish hashgacha on the cheese. Okay? Why is that so? So let's see the Gemara on the previous Amud here. The Gemara says, my taima. It's a little bit more than halfway down. The first word in line is my taima, and that is 12 lines before the lines get wide. 15 lines from the end of the Amud of the Gemara. My taima, why is gvina also? The cheese made by a goy. L'chara, all cheese should be mutter. Why? Because we just saw that tummy milk doesn't curdle. It doesn't become cheese. So why isn't cheese permissible as a general rule? So says Gemara, there's several reasons. Or several possible reasons. My time, Omar Ula, first of all, Ula said, Mitem Rav Shul Bar Abba, and some said Rav Shul Bar Abba said, Gzera Chadashi. It's a new Gzera, Vein Rafak will keep up. And we don't ask any questions about it. Why don't we ask any questions about a new Gzera? Because then people are going to start having doubts. People are going to say, well, that reason is not such a good reason. Let's not accept the Gzera. So therefore, new Gzera's Chazal don't tell us reasons. They just say, this is the new law. We just promulgated the decree, keep it. But The Gemara goes on, nonetheless, to discuss what the reasons are for the decree. My Xeter, Xeter, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon, did I skip? Okay, my Xeter, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Nikur. Okay, the reason why he said is because of Nikur. And Nikur, let me just see if I can find Rashi here quickly. Yeah, Rashi's on the wrong side. Rashi doesn't say, but the reason is because we're afraid that Nikor means we're afraid that a snake nibbled at it, or something of that sort. And when a snake nibbles at it, it obviously puts poison in the cheese, and therefore we need a Jew to have made the cheese in order that we know that it's someone that has a problem, he's going to warn us. If a guy made it, we don't know the hygiene is being kept up to standards. We don't know if things are being kept on the proper level. So therefore, the Chazal answered it. So that's one reason. Says the Gemara, because Nikor Kedula, like we just said, like Ula Damar Ula Kikaz Exer to Marava, when they used to make Exer in the land of Israel, Lomagalu Taima Treser Yarchishata, they wouldn't tell the reason over for 12 months. Dilma Ika Imish Lo Sphira Lay, maybe there'll be a person who won't hold of this reason, like some of you might have shaken your heads a moment ago. Vasa Zuliba and make a mockery of it. Megadik for Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, El Miyatu Yvesha Tishtere. If it's dried up, let the cheese be permissible. Why? Because dry cheese, already the poison of the snake, no longer is effective. The poison has to be moist in order to be effective. Yashin, if it's old, teach the rain, because the poison has lost its effect. Dharma Rabbi Chanina, Yavesh Mutar, a different type of the substance where Yavesh, old wine or old beer, when it's become old, then already we're not afraid of the poison still being effective. So it says the Gemara, Ein Manicho Livash. That's not important for our sugya. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, really, that's not the reason. The reason is rather, there's always a little bit of milk left together with the cheese. So the reason why the cheese is usher is because there's still milk left in the cheese. And since there's still milk content in the cheese, therefore, milk is cholavakum. So that ether of cholavakum doesn't fall off even when it's cheese because of the little bit of milk which is left over from the process. Says the Gemara, another reason. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says the reason why cheese is also this, the way we pass in, is because they use non-kosher rennet. How did they used to make cheese? They used to take part of the intestine. By the way, they still do this. What? No, kiva, I think, is the large intestine. It doesn't mean if it's part of the digestive tract of the animal. Of the animal they used to take, they still do. They take part of the digestive tract of the animal, grind it up into a powder, put it into the cheese, and that causes the cheese to curdle. Now they have artificial rennet, but I think still they use, to a certain extent, non-kosher rennet in places other than the United States. So, the reason why they ask for the cheese is because they use this non-kosher rennet. By the way, even to make kosher cheese, they use intestines of animals. It's just they use intestines of animals from kosher animals, slaughtered animals, as opposed to what? So the Koresh Mishlashik, right, because they're using pieces of meat in order to make it. No, because the part of the intestine which they use to make it is not suitable for it. It's not edible. So since it's not edible, what? Right, since it's not, well, it's not, it's a catalyst, but nonetheless, if it were to be edible, so then it would be a problem. But since it's not edible, therefore it's not considered anymore to have the status of meat. It would be edible, wouldn't curdle the milk. It's so strong that it's not edible anymore. Yeah.
So you're saying that it's exerged rabbanah, based on a kashrus.
Right.
I mean, they didn't say be careful and be kosher, but they said we asked it.
Okay, so right, by cheese.
The upshot here and by Lechav Yisrael?
No. By cheese, the halacha is that even in our day and age, cheese remains also. Even though now craft cheeses are made with artificial rennet, nonetheless, most poskim say, not all, but most poskim say, cheese without hashgacha is no longer, it's not kosher. Hi. Now they don't use rennet from animals anymore. It's a gzera. Like we said, a gzera is different. When Chazal make a gzera, you can't come and decide based on changed circumstances to annul the Gzera. Only a Beis Din, which is greater than the Beis Din which promulgated the decree, can come and annul it. Otherwise, the decree stands in place. So therefore, cheese, Kraft cheese, still remains also. There was, they say, a controversial suffer of Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, which was matir, but it was matir hard cheeses, right? Based on the fact that they don't use natural rennet anymore, only artificial rennet. But it's questionable if he actually said it. And even if he said it, it's questionable if he is actually correct, because most poskim, like we said, hold even if cheese is made with artificial rennet, it because remains also. But the question is, getting back for a moment to milk. The question of milk is based to a large extent on a Rashi here. They want to see this Rashi. The Rashi says, where we started, where it says my time of four lines above that. It says in Rashi, and Rashi here is on the right side. Says Rashi, Bein guma shogvina, in the crevices of the cheese, nishar min acholav, some of the milk remains. The cholav shechovu obi kochavim, and the milk which is milked by a guy, bein yisrael without a Jew seeing it, is also. Is also dilma ori bein cholav tame, lest the guy have mixed in treif milk. The cholav tame in omi, and treif milk from a pig or a donkey or whatever it is doesn't solidify. And therefore if he mixed tame milk, let's say donkey milk, with kosher milk, the tame milk stays with the whey. The chol of tame also min haTorah, and chol of tame is also min haTorah. Ubechoros yafin alo. We learned this out in Sech the Bechoros. Yesh lochu shavagumos nisher menu. We should be suspect lest in nooks and crannies of the cheese some milk was left. Now the question is, how do we read Rashi here? There's a question here between machlokas between the Chasam Sofer on the one hand and Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chasam Ish on the other side. What does Rashi mean? Does Rashi mean that there is cholav akum left in the holes, or that there's cholav tummy left in the holes? Take a look at Rashi again. How do you read Rashi? Does anybody understand the difference? Chol of Akum doesn't imply necessarily that there's tummy milk left. It just means that it was milk which was milked by a guy. Chol of tummy means we're afraid that there's literally donkey milk left in the holes. What's Rashi afraid of?
Well, Chol of Akum is because you don't know.
What?
The whole basis of Chol of Akum is because you don't know.
Well, first tell me how to read Rashi, then I'll tell you if what you're saying is right or not.
I say it's Chol of Akum.
Chasam Sofer says, which says, Chol of Shechov Olikochavim Ve'en Yisroel Ro'eyu Osu. Right? So maybe that's what's left. The Chasam Sofer says that the Chashash is Chol of Akum. Says the Chasam Sofer, what's Rashi telling us? Rashi's telling us, even if we know for sure there's no Chol of Tummy there, we know for sure there's no trade milk, Chol of Akum is a Zera in and of itself. And therefore, even if we know there's no tummy milk left, we know for sure there's no tummy milk left in the hole, since it's possible that the milk in the hole is chol of akum. That in and of itself is enough reason to ask for the cheese. Yeah. No, by definition, cheese cannot be made out of chol of tummy. What I mean by that is that it doesn't solidify. No, not according to Chasam Sofer. That's the whole point. Well, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that we'll see in a minute. Okay, so Rav Moshe says that Rashi means not that we're afraid that there's chol of akum in and of itself. That's not a problem. He says chol of akum is only also because of chol of tummy. It's not an independent zero. Oh, chol of akum.
His friend does not agree that any of this ever happened.
It's only also. where Cholof Tomei may be present. I'll show you the way they both read Rashi. The way the Chasam Sofer reads Rashi reads like this. Wherever you make cheese, there's still little wet, milk left. In the holes of the cheese, cholov is left. And milk, which is milk by a guy, when a Jew didn't see him, is also. That's right. That's where the Chasam Sofer reads it. It says, from here we see clear cut from Rashi that any time milk was milked by a non-Jew, whether we know if it's cholov tummy or not, the cholov akum in and of itself is aser. And therefore the Chasam Sofer says there's no way to ever be matir cholov akum. No way in the world ever be matir cholov akum. Even if you have a case where you know for sure there's no cholov tummy, he went to a laboratory and he tested the milk, he ran a chemical analysis, and you know for sure that there's no tummy milk in this mixture. Nonetheless, the fact that it was milked by a guy, in and of itself, stands and is a xera, that milk is also. The way Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish read the Rashi is different. The way they read the Rashi is, the reason why it's also is because maybe there's cholov tamei there. And here too, maybe cholov tamei stayed in that hole. In other words, in the hole in the cheese where you have the milk. Maybe there's also cholov tamei in there as well, not just cholov tamei.
Where's the comma that the Chasam Sofer puts?
Chasam Sofer puts, that's right, you picked up on that. Chasam Sofer puts the comma after also, not after Osir, but after the base of the Bach, right? After the base of the Bach, or where the base of the Bach is. Rav Moshe puts the comma after Osir.
How does Rav Moshe read the Mishnah?
No.
Yeah, how does he read the Mishnah? I thought it was the other way.
What do you mean, how?
Well,
the other
way. He said that the Chasam Sofer said you can't have it because of the Xera.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
How do Rav Moshe and the Chazal Ish read the Mishnah that we just had?
That's only in a case where we're not sure what's in the milk. If we're sure what's in the milk, then we would not have an Issa. In other words, the whole Issa when it says Cholav Shecholav Akum Yisrael is only where Yisrael is not sure what's in the milk. By the way, before I get into that, though, I'll come back to the Chasam Ish. There's another Raya against the Chasam Sofer from the end of Rashi. Rashi says, at the end of Rashi, the last five words of Rashi, Yishlochu Shabagumos Nishar Mimenu. You have to be afraid, maybe in the holes, there's some of it left. What's it? Does it mean milk? Cholav akum? Obviously there's milk left. We said, every time you make cheese, there's way left. It's not maybe. There's clearly milk left in the holes. There's always way left after you make cheese. What does it mean, maybe there's some of it left? Maybe some of it means maybe there's some cholav tamei left in the holes. Besides the actual milk, maybe part of that milk is cholav tamei. That's the way the Chazon Ish explains the end of Rashi. Okay?
The Chasam Sofer says it's one gzera. Cholav is the same gzera. Isn't that what he says?
Well, yeah, basically. Right.
I mean, so he comes out very nicely. I mean, that's what he means. That's the base of the gzera, because you can never tell.
Right, but the question is how to read whether Rashi in fact meant that. Although the Chasam Sofer works out very well in the Gemara, it might not work out in Rashi. Now that Rav Moshe said this and the Chazon Ish, that the only time that Cholav Akum is also where you're afraid that there's Cholav Tami involved, there's an Afkamina. The Afkamina is in the case of Mirsas.
Yes.
This is going to be the difference between the two shittos. What does Mirsas mean?
Well, crab cheese would be a difference.
What?
Crab cheese.
No, because of Shmuel's reason. Of rennet, it's going to be a separate issue. You're right, according to Rabbi Chanina, but not according to Shmuel. Now, the thing is, Mirsas means if a guy is afraid to put milk, trade milk, into his, let's say you buy, well, what's a kosher milk brand in Chicago? Becker's? Let's say the Mr. Becker is afraid to put tummy milk into his kosher milk because he's going to get a fine. The government's going to come down and they're going to close him down. Take his way of license. What? Right. So in that case, we know for sure he's not going to put cholov tummy in his milk, right? Because they're going to close him down. in that case, according to the Chasam Sofer, don't make no difference. Like we said before, even if you know for sure there's no tummy milk in Becker's milk, nonetheless, it's an iser. Anytime milk was milked by a non-Jew without Israel seeing it, it remains awesome. According to Rav Moshe, though, since I know he's not going to put in tummy milk because he's afraid, so therefore I can rely on that, and I can say, clearly there's no chashash, there's no suspicion of tummy milk here, therefore I'm allowed to drink this milk. It doesn't fall into the category of chol of akum. Since chol of akum is only also where chol of tummy may be present, here there's clearly no chol of tummy present. Now, the thing is that Rav Moshe said this in tshuva number one, and then there was somebody who bugged him, and he had to write a second tshuva and a third tshuva. Tshuva number one, Rav Moshe said very simply, chol of akum is mutar in our day and age because they're afraid of government inspectors. In the second tshuva, the fellow asked him, Rabbi Dick, Judah Dick, he asked him a question, he asked him, wait a second, you know what kind of fine they get if they find pig's milk in the regular milk? $25 fines. Nothing very serious. What? He claimed that he's a lawyer. He claimed that they give him a very small fine, at least the first couple of times.
He could be the President of the United States. I think they'll close him.
What?
He could be the President of the United States. I think they'll close him.
I understand. I'm just saying that he said like that's what he claimed in the second tour. So Moshe says, still, even though the fine is very small, nonetheless, if he does, he's going to have, in order for Mr. Becker to do that, he's going to have to bribe all his workers and his factory and his dairy not to tell any government inspector. He's going to have to give some kickbacks to people. You know, there's going to be a whole big process of ruse and underhanded, under the table stuff, and it's clear that nobody's going to go to that length in order to put in a little bit of pig's milk in together with the regular milk. So therefore he says, even though the fines are very small, nonetheless it remains mutter. But then the person asked him a very good shaila in the third tshuva, and here's where Moshe starts to fall apart. The question is like this: who gets inspected? The dairy. Where does the milk come from?
The
cows, the farms. The inspectors never go to the farms.
True.
Very rarely. The government inspectors. This is what the Shiloh was. Government inspectors very rarely go to farms, even if they go to every day to a farm. There's so many farms where they're getting the milk from that the inspection cannot cover everybody adequately.
What I want to know is, let's say I take out a gallon of milk, and I'm an inspector, and I find pig's milk in it. Who am I going to blame? Who am I going to go and nail?
The dairy.
I'm going to nail the dairy. So he's going to be, sure to make positive that this guy's not putting any pig milk, because I'm the one who's going to get nailed for this if it's in my product.
He can't. There are vast amounts of milk involved. It's impossible for him to know. There's so much milk involved. You have to understand. But we're dealing with amounts of milk.
Dairies now.
For what?
They're coming from very large farms now. I mean, it's a whole factory. Farms are a whole factory.
Okay.
Thousands of cows.
Yeah.
They go through a milking machine that looks like a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
And it comes off, they seal the milk.
But there must be vast amounts of dairy farms. I mean, there must be thousands and thousands of them. Even if they're very large.
Pardon me?
Milk is not milked by hand anymore.
That's true, but in fact it's not milked by machine. I mean, it doesn't make a difference in terms of how many farms there are. You're saying that they're large farms, but there must be still quite a few of them.
Yeah, but to put in pig's milk for a little amount of milk in such large farms.
Okay,
the possibility there. I don't even know if a trafe animal, if it's conducive to have a trafe animal on the same farm,
right,
as of a dairy farm.
Your point is valid, and we'll get that later on, but that doesn't make them mirsas. The bottom line here, which we're trying to deal with, is the svara of mirsas. Are they afraid? You're right, it might not be profitable for them to put in mix.
They're afraid. It's profit and loss, whether it be the farm or whether it be the dairy. There is a question of profit and loss. They put a trafe, something trafe in there, and they're caught either on the farm or on the dairy. Listen, Jewel just had a chash.
Right.
It was a Jewel's milk that just had a chash. They closed down a whole dairy. It's from 5 years ago.
But that's still the dairy, not the farmers.
Huh?
It's impossible for them to get back to the farmers and trace. If I come to the dairy and I dump my milk in the...
I believe there was... I can't say for sure, but I believe there was an attempt to trace down how all this bacteria did occur. And he found out that eventually it did occur into the dairy. But there is something traceable.
Okay, it's possible that the Matzius has changed since the 50s when Ramosha wrote the Tshuva. But when the Tshuva was written in the 50s, there was no hush. There was inspection on each individual farm was very shoddy.
I remember one very large farm in the 50s.
Yeah.
Your niece, yeah. I don't know if you. I remember they had this merry-go-round type of setup. I remember a small farm which I worked at,
right.
And I remember going in. It was they were told that there was enough for nechas v'yotze. It was a Jewish-owned farm on top of it, but they told them enough nechas v'yotze. But there usually was somebody around every day to watch. And also the milk was the same thing. It was done electrically, and that was it.
Yeah, but the electrically done is not by the farmer, it's not by the government.
No, I say it was they were right.
Right.
But there's always a government inspector walking around. There's always somebody coming in.
There was some. You saw government inspectors on that farm?
You have a public health problem. You wouldn't have.
I honestly don't remember. Okay. I mean, this goes back.
Might be that material changed, but as far as.
I'm talking about the 50s.
But no, you're saying you didn't see an inspector. Right, you didn't see an inspector.
I'm sure that there were some type of inspectors because they had to put in their own oil, to put in certain materials for
right.
the passengers.
Whether yes or no, you didn't see an inspector, and the way the question was presented in motion, there was a reasonable assumption that the inspectors don't get adequately to each and every farm.
Even if they did it, as long as there was the fear of the small farmer that the inspector might come, or the fear that it found that that they did, put pig's milk in, that they would analyze.
Right, it's very hard.
They may be sued by the bigger company, which would have to close down as a result. I think there would be a significant fear.
Right, but it's very hard to catch the individual farmer. You're right. If it was possible to catch the individual farmer, it's very hard to catch them because if they go to a large dairy and just dump their milk in, so then you're going to they're who's going to catch them? They're just their milk is going to everybody else. Unless you stop each trailer tank and check it before it goes in, you're going to have a problem. You're never going to be able to trace it back. All right, but let's assume for argument's sake that Ramosha's the question is valid, okay? So Ramosha says like this. Ramosha says, we have here a question in the Gemara. There's several reasons given for why Gvinas Akum is also. We saw two or three. We saw one of the reasons given is because maybe there's poison in there. One of the reasons given is because there's still a little bit of milk left. The other reason which is given is because of the tray for rennets. Why isn't the reason given by Rabbi Chanina that there's a little bit of milk left still in the holes a sufficient reason? Seems to be a good enough reason in of itself. Chol of Akum is also. There might be tummy milk in the holes. How much further do you have to go to look for a reason? That reason in and of itself should be a sufficient reason. Why go any further? So Moshe wants to say that really this reason was not sufficient. This is a very big chiddush, which Moshe says. He says this reason is not sufficient because Kol of Yisrael only applies to the stage where a Jew gets the milk from a goy who's questionable. Now, what do we mean by this? In our case, the case which we're dealing with, there's a chain of two goyim, right? There's the goy at the farm. And the goy, where? At the dairy. And then there's the Yisrael who buys the Jew, maybe not even from the dairy, even from the supermarket, there might be three goyim down the line. But there's at least a chain of two goyim involved. So Moshe says, I only concern myself with this last goy. This is my only concern. I don't care what went on with any previous goy. In other words, in the chain, the only person I'm concerned with is him. The dairy. Is he Mirzach or not? That's my question. I don't care about the goy on the farm. Now, why not? He says, because otherwise, everybody should have agreed to Rabbi Chanina. Why doesn't everybody agree to Rabbi Chanina? That we look at the cheese and we say, well, maybe there's Chol of Tami. Because by the time the Jew is buying it, what is it now? Cheese, right? At this time, it's not going to be milk anymore. When is Chol of Akum Asur? Only when you're buying milk. Now when you're buying cheese, it's no longer considered to be Asur. Rabbi Chanina says, there's still a little bit of cheese in the holes, that's considered to be milk. There's still a little bit of milk in the holes, that's considered to still be milk. But the other Amorim say, that ain't milk anymore, this is cheese. We only asked you to buy milk when we asked you to call it Akum. We didn't ask you to buy cheese. Therefore, they had to come up for another reason why it's usher to buy gvina from a guy. Since it's not milk, the only reason why it's usher is because there might be poison, or because they use treif rennet, but not because there's milk, which is also there, because it's no longer milk, it's already cheese.
Even if it's a liquid,
even if it's a little bit of liquid, that's not considered cheese. That's considered like whey. Leftover cheesy stuff, that's not considered to be milk. Now, you have to bear in mind...
Even if it's tummy.
You have to bear in mind what I told you before. Rav Moshe says, clearly, I'm relying on the fact that midoraisa, there's no problem. Midoraisa and the cholov tummy is butto barov. Chazal even said, nonetheless, when it's in a milky state, when it's liquid, it's awesome. When it's solid, it's permissible. You have to say that anyway, but because otherwise, just say cheese is usher because cheese comes from milk. It's clear that since just the chol of tummy doesn't solidify, Chazal said, even though all cheese comes from milk, the cheese is would have been mutter if not for reasons A, B, and C. Right, so it's clear that midoraisa the milk is mutter. Chazal came and said it's usher. They came and said it's usher only when it's in milk form, not when it's in cheese form. Rabbi Hanina says there's still a little bit of milk left, that's why it's usher. The other time around say that's not milk. Therefore, it's not considered to be usher. So Rabbi Moshe says, based on this, I can tell you clearly that we always look only at the last step. We only look always at the last step, and if the last step, well, when we're getting it, the step from which we're acquiring it is from a cheese step. And I don't have to worry about it being milk. It's not milk anymore. Even though once upon a time it was milk, I forget about that. Now it's cheese. The same thing when it remains milk. But the last step before I got it was a step where there's mirsas. The guy at the dairy is afraid to put cholov tummy in because he's going to get a fine and they'll shut him down. That's equivalent to buying cheese. Since it's equivalent to buying cheese, so therefore, as long as I'm only getting it, from a person who's mirsas, I can buy it. And I'd like to explain it a little bit more just because it's a very novel idea. Really, Lechora, why not buy milk? It was also when it came off the farm, it should be also at the dairy as well. But as Ramosha is saying, just like milk which became cheese would be mutter if not for several external reasons, so too, this milk is like cheese because the Svara Mirsas applies to the dairy. The guy who's at the dairy is not going to put a chol of tame. It's the same thing like cheese. I can buy the milk. Now, there's going to be a very big nachmina. It's very big enough if we even for user Moshe Sfarad to be matir, what's going to happen if the dairy is owned by a Jew?
He's going to be afraid.
No, but he
already. Who did he get the milk from?
Yeah, missed the step.
It's one, not two together.
It's one step.
That's
one
right.
Step.
Just
the first step.
So Moshe is a little bit bothered, but he says, "Well, Moshe, what a Becker? I don't know. Becker's is owned by a Jew.
Yeah,
Becker's owned by a Jew. Okay, very good. That would be problematic according to Moshe.
Right.
Because then." True, Mr. Becker is afraid, nervous. But the guy who gave it to Mr. Becker is not nervous. Remember, the analogy is, if I buy cheese, then I don't have to worry about the fact that it's previously milk. Because by the time I get it, it's cheese. If I buy from a guy whose mirsas was afraid to put in chol of tummy, that's equivalent to buying cheese. But if I buy from another Yisrael, who bought it from a guy who's not mirsas, because the farmers are not afraid, so therefore, he brought it at a stage when it's usher. That is, it remains intact.
Why wouldn't Mr. Becker be mirsas?
Yeah, why aren't we?
He is mirsas, but that doesn't do any good because the Isra of Cholova, Ramosha says, I don't have to pay attention to the stages before the last guy who got it. As long as the last guy who got it is afraid, that's enough. But here's the last guy who had it. If I take out the guy in the middle, the last guy who had it was not afraid. So therefore, you know what it's like? It's as if a Jew bought milk from a guy and made cheese with it. Chazal wouldn't allow that. You're not allowed to go and buy cholov akum and make cheese with it. It has to be that the stage in which it reached me is a stage in which it's already cheese, or already a stage from a mirsas. So Rav Moshe has problems with that. Yeah.
Why are we presuming that Mr. Becker is going out to find out that they're afraid of Mr. Becker? Getting out and making sure that all the milk is cooking.
Because if it's Becker goes under, so do all those other little farms that feed
it. It's possible, but we don't know, in fact, that people are afraid of Mr. Becker. If they can't sell to Mr. Becker, they'll sell to somebody else.
Ramosha's working with the assumption maybe. That yeah. Farms aren't afraid.
Right.
He thought they were afraid.
They don't sell. There's so many milk companies, so Becker finds them, they'll get a sale. I don't know, it must be other milk companies in Chicago.
Ramosha said the farms are afraid, because the farmers aren't afraid. then I thought we had the whole problem.
That's the four notes. So Moshe's Chiddush is, even though the farmers are not afraid, as long as the guy before I get the milk was afraid, that's sufficient. He's drawing an analogy between that and cheese. Even though cheese started out being, so you see, it's the same scale, the same, sorry, it's a little far down.
You said that even by milk itself.
What if he gets it through a delivery truck, by the way?
What?
It's a delivery truck. What's the delivery? No, he got it through a delivery truck. The guy sent it.
Going there, this is the same chain as Cholav to Gavina to Yisrael.
What?
Why? How's he made that?
Well, you can see those around.
See, this is the same chain. Just like I can't buy the milk, but I would be able to buy the cheese if not for the external reasons given in the Gemara. So too, I could buy from this guy as long as he's Mirsas.
You can't touch it.
However, if this fellow here was Yisrael, then that would mess up my whole chain of permissibility. That's Rav Moshe's Chiddush. Now, Rav Moshe's Chiddush, I don't have to tell you, you all feel, you know on your own, that Rav Moshe's Chiddush here is very, very strange. Because what it means is that even though at this stage the farmer could have put pig's milk in the mixture, nonetheless, we turn a blind eye to it. Right.
Is it Rav Moshe that is afraid, or that is not afraid? Excuse me. Maybe Rav Moshe knows that the farmer is afraid, but he's trying to answer the guy who says, hey, the farmer ain't afraid, you know. They may be having two different things there going on.
Rav Moshe was trying to respond to the question, the person who asked the question on his own ground. He was trying to say that I accept the fact that the farmers are not afraid because inspection is not... It's okay. It's impossible to have thoroughgoing inspection, and nonetheless, I'm going to answer you on that basis and tell you why it's mutter nonetheless. And I tell you that this chain is permissible. And what we're trying to say, explain, is why that's a difficult svara, because that means that if I would have bought the milk, it's, as a matter of fact, it's all close to untenable. But it's for Moshe Feinstein says it, so I don't want to say it's untenable. What it means is that if I would have gone to the farm to buy the milk, I wouldn't have been allowed to. I knock on the farmer's door and say, Mr. Farmer, I want milk from you. That's forbidden. That's Cholav Akum. But since it passed through a dairy, the dairy's like a mikveh. It was retired the milk. Now the milk has become purified. Now I can buy the milk. Okay, since this, even though the dairy has no way of knowing what happened with the farmer, since the dairy is nervous to put in the Cholav Tamei, now the milk has become kadosh.
But
now I can buy it.
With Cholav Tamei.
Yeah, but only in major amounts, not in minute amounts.
No, question. All right, doesn't
Yes, so that's what Moshe is saying. Since we derive it's Batel Barov anyway, it's only a question of Rabbanon. I'm characterizing you the Xerz Rabbanon of Cholav Akum in this fashion. I always have to worry about the last guy in the food chain. If the last guy in the food chain is Mirsas, if he's afraid to put in Cholav Tamei, I don't care about all the previous guy. You're right. It was an issue of the rights. I couldn't get away with this. Or Moshe couldn't get away with this. Because the moment there's a problem anywhere in the chain, I have to worry about that problem. So only the issue of the Rabbanon, Moshe could say, I mean, the rights is not a problem. Hi, it's the Rabbanon. I'm going to characterize the issue of the Rabbanon in a fashion that won't present a problem for you.
The only problem would be for Mr. Becker, not for us. Because if according to Rabbanon's Svara, that it's the most factory with the entire, factory, so too... Mr. Becker's little production plant would be the same thing and would have the same effect. So for the people waiting to cheese, it would be just cheese, and the milk would be just,
Ramush is not comfortable with that. He's not comfortable with that.
So his problem is with Mr. Becker and his liability, but not for anybody else who would be on that.
Not necessarily, because I can't rely, if another Jew did an Isser along the line, I can't buy from him and say, well, it's his problem, not mine. In other words, the moment a Jew bought at a stage, which is problematic, the Isser never falls off ever again. Because the first contact the Jew had with it was problematic. So the problem Cholav Akum will never fall off.
Does anybody consider the profit margin?
Yes, we're going to consider right now. Right now.
Can I go one step forward, too?
Yes.
What's the eating with butter and cream?
We'll get to that in a few minutes. Okay, now, the thing is, there is another way to be matir other than Rav Moshe. The other way to be matir Rav Moshe is based on the Pri Chodesh. Pri Chodesh was a rav, the Sephardi rav in Amsterdam in the 17th century, 18th century. And he and the Chazon Ish are matir based on the profit margin svara. The profit margin svara in America is very well explained on the last, the second to last page here.
Okay, I hope I copied the right page.
Yes. Over here, from the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, in note number 21. An attempt to clarify this point. Does everybody see that? Top page over here? This large paragraph. In an attempt to clarify this point, I spoke with officials of the dairy industry. I was told that government inspectors visit the dairy plants 3 to 4 times a week. These are the plants. And take many samples of the milk to guarantee that the product offered to the public meets legal standards of purity, bacteria count, fat content, and the like. That doesn't help us so far because it's only the dairy, not the farmers. Although they do not check specifically for the admixture of other animals' milk with that of the cow, there are many testing factors in other tests which would immediately indicate if the milk were adulterated. I was also told that in this country at least, it would not be in the interest of the dairy producers to include pigs or other animals' milk with cow's milk. Here comes the clincher. It seems that newborn animals cannot tolerate anything other than their own mother's type of milk. Therefore, if the farmer were to take pig's milk and add it to cow's milk, it would be robbing his own livestock of necessary nutrition. On the other hand, a calf can be weaned to formula within 2 weeks of birth. The cows produce great quantities of milk, which the farmers can readily and inexpensively collect for market use.
Which they couldn't do with the non-kosher milk.
That's right. So therefore...
The government inspectors do come.
No, we don't see that. Only to the dairy. Not to the farmer, though. That doesn't help us. But what does help us is that it's not profitable for a farmer to take pig's milk and put it in the mixture together with cow's milk. Why? Because then his pigs will starve to death. Because pigs can only feed... Pigs were not raised for...
Wisconsin, you see these dairy farms. All you see is endless.
I don't know. There's no
pigs there. They don't keep pigs.
There are some.
Most of them, a vast majority of them don't have pigs there.
It's not economically good for them. Like the Rabbi Feinstein on page 100, it's not economically feasible to.
Gentlemen, if you're talking about American society, especially Wisconsin, which is heavily dependent on cows. Go to Italy, most milk sold
in
Italy
is pig's
milk.
We're still talking about this country. That's what we're dealing with.
I don't know, if you can go and find out, like I said to you before in terms of inspection on the farm, if you can go out and find out that there are not very few pigs in dairy farms, that there are no pigs in dairy farms, my tovu manoi. This will say, but until we know that there are no pigs on dairy farms, as a matter of statistic, then we still have the problem. Except that now we introduce the Pichadosh. The Pichadosh says, wherever it's clear that they lose money by putting in pig's milk or donkey milk, either because the process of milking pigs and donkeys is more expensive and therefore reduces their profit margin, or because, as Rabbi Cohen writes here in the journal, they are going to lose their pigs' lives, they're going to starve their pigs to death because their pigs won't be able to tolerate formula. In those cases, we can assume that nobody's going to be an idiot and take pig's milk and put it into cholov tamar, into regular cow's milk. And therefore, the Pichadosh says it's mutter to drink, and he says in Amsterdam, he himself drank cholov without hashgacha based on the svarim. Now, a lot of poskim don't rely on this Pichadosh. Of course, the Chasam Sofer doesn't, it goes without saying. Chasam Sofer says, even if you know that it's very unlikely, impossible that they'll put the cholov tamar in there, as long as there isn't a Jew watching the milking process, you can't use that milk. Chasam Sofer definitely argues the Pichadosh. Even Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't like the Pichadosh. That's why he goes through his whole long pilpul in order to come up with the svara we mentioned before of the food chain. But the Pichadosh was liked by the Chasam Ish. And the Chasam Ish says that one can rely on this Pichadosh and use Cholav Akum in a place where it's not profitable for them to use Cholav Tami.
All you need to do is find one farmer that doesn't have pigs, because we already said it's not about the Borov.
Excuse me?
It's not bottled, right?
Right.
It's not bottled.
So one farmer has pigs.
All you need is one farmer that doesn't have pigs.
That does have pigs.
That does not. If he does not have pigs, then he might put pig milk in his milk because it's not going to hurt him in any way.
Oh, I see.
All you need is one farmer like that. There's got to be one farmer that's because he doesn't have any pigs.
Yeah, well, that's right.
What if he gets somebody to buy?
Yeah, we're not kosher that it's going to go dafka to do. We're not kosher that out of rishus he's going to go get pigs milk. There has to be some reasonable reason why he's going
to
do it.
He's got enough to do just with the cows on his own farm.
That's right. Yeah. Now,
it's really
not
okay. Now,
pig probably wouldn't hold still to get
milk. Obviously, they do nurse, so.
Well, cows always produce milk, even if they don't have calves.
They have to have calves.
They have to have a calf.
Well, as long as you keep on milking them.
I'm really annoying.
I'm not disagreeing.
At one point, they have a calf, and they keep on milking
forever.
The thing is, I just want to point out before we go on to that you see very clearly why those of us who are machmir on Kol Yisrael are machmir. First of all, our Moshe's long, just like we saw, is very shaky. Besides that, there's a Chasam Sofer who says it's a blanket zera. Even the Pri Chodosh, although the Chasam Ish says one can rely on him, many poskim have said you can't rely on him. It's told over that even the Chasam Ish, when asked, when confronted by somebody who said, you are Matir Cholov Akum? So the Chazanish responded, is that what they're saying about me? Soon they're going to start saying about me that I was Matir Eishas Ish as well. So I don't know if that story is true or not true, but the point is that there's a lot of room to be Machmir on Cholov Akum because the Eterim which are used are all not necessarily held up by everybody. Although the Pri Chodesh makes a lot of sense, and the Chazanish said one can rely on him, there are other poskim who said you can't, you should not rely on the Pri Chodesh. Now, the question is, let's say other substances which come from milk, such as cheese, butter, cream, and milk powder. Now, you have there on the other side of that handout, back on the back page, you'll see that it says there that the Breuer's community. The Breuer's community, it's in the middle. The Washington Heights regards butter, heavy cream, and yogurt as not being part of the Xer of Cholov Akum. The Shiloh is why not? Middle on the last page.
Is it considered like amino?
So the thing is like this, right? The thing is that the cheese is already, this cheese and butter are already discussed by the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is makel on cheese, as long as kosher rennet was used, not just as long as kosher rennet was used, as long as it was made by a Jew. As long as the cheese is made by a Jew, the Ramah is making on cheese, and the Shach is matir on butter. Making on butter. Why those two? A, because tamei milk doesn't become cheese, right? So therefore, even though the milk is not Chol of Yisrael, nonetheless, if once I make cheese with it, the cheese is all going to be kosher. We don't pass them like Rabbi Chanina. If we pass them like Rabbi Chanina, then we couldn't be makel on the cheese. We're passing that the reason why cheese is also like Shmuel because it's made with treif rennet. But the moment the Jew is made, the good cheese is made by a Jew with kosher rennet, we're not concerned with the milk which remains in the holes. We don't care about that. We're not afraid that there might be some minimal amount of chol of tameh left there. Okay? And this is based, just give me a minute, this is based on the Rizpa. The Rizpa is here on the top of that last page where I just wrote you about Washington Heights. He says there that just quote a photocopy of three lines. Masha omu tome eno omade. Dauchi said that donkey milk, horse milk, doesn't solidify. Lam eno made cloud doesn't mean it doesn't solidify at all. The chazina the kai, we see that it does become somewhat cheesy. El sherubo eno omade. Most of it does not solidify. Verubo nasa nasube. Most of it remains liquidy. So what does that mean? That means that although it's possible that some of it becomes cheese, primarily it remains whey, right? So therefore we say that not all the milk is 100% good and not all cheese is 100%, let me rephrase that. Not all cheese is 100% clear that it's cow's milk, because a little bit of the donkey milk or the pig's milk could solidify, but Chazal felt at that stage we'll rely on the Bittul Berov Deraisa. Even though there might be a minute amount, donkey milk which solidified, nonetheless, it's so infinitesimally small, we're not afraid about that. Okay, so therefore the cheese is permissible. Now, of course, this is only the Washington Heights people who are making on cheese. Not only the Breuers, only the Germans. Even the Germans have two types of cheese. I don't know if you've ever gone into Milk Pail and noticed, but there's Migdal and Ha'olam. Both of the Ashgach are Breuers. One is made from Chol Yisrael, one is not made from Chol Yisrael. And all the Hasidim are Makbid, Dafka to use the Chol Yisrael cheese. Only cheese made from Chol Yisrael. So the Shaila is, why are they Makbid? Because Rabbeinu Tam says the only time you can rely on the fact that the milk solidified, the fact that milk solidified means that it's kosher, is where the milk was milked originally for the purpose of making cheese. The milk was not milked originally for the purpose of making cheese, then taka, the container still applies. Because then it was originally chalav akum. If they milk milk for milk purposes, and then want to make cheese from it, that's no good. Why? Because he argues on the Ritva. He says, you know, there might still be some donkey milk left in there. And he has to be afraid of the donkey milk. Well, the Rabbeinu Tam actually doesn't use that far. Rabbeinu Tam says that milk is chol vacuum, and you might have to be afraid that chol vacuum is going to cause you problems later down the line. The question is, what happens to milk in America? Is milk in America considered to be milk for purposes of milk, or milk for purposes of cheese? One can look at it either way, right? Since dairies make both milk and cheese, so therefore one could say that all milk milked in America is milk milked for cheese. What? One could look at it and say, no, all milk in America is milk for the purpose of milk, and not for the purpose of cheese. You understand, since there aren't two separate production lines in the farm nowadays, since it's on such a mass scale, so the question is, well, how do I look at all the milk? Do I look at all the milk as being milk for cheese, and therefore I can make cheese even out of milk without hashgacha, because it's all milk for the purpose of making cheese? Or do I say, all milk is milk for milk? And therefore, I can't use any of the milk to make cheese. I need special chol b'sorol in order to make cheese. That's the question. Miller's cheese, by the way, is not chol b'sorol as well. Miller's and Migdal are not chol b'sorol. Yeah.
If everything is made into milk first, and then some go beyond that and
right.
produce the cheese, then how would you even think that it could possibly be that it's milk for cheese when we know that some of it is just for milk? Wouldn't it make sense to say that? But this far, it would make sense if you say it's all milk for milk. And there's something that goes beyond that.
Right, well, the logic would have to be that since a farmer knows that some of his milk might go on to cheese, a great deal of his milk, because so much cheese being produced in the United States, therefore he knows that sooner or later factories are going to stop buying from him if he keeps putting chol of tummy in. It's not profitable for the factories to receive milk which has trafe milk if that milk cannot be used for cheese. And since so much milk in the United States does go for cheese, so therefore it's not profitable for him. You understand? It's not profitable for him. If he gets caught, they're not going to take his milk anymore. The thing is that even Reb Moshe and others say that you shouldn't think that based on a bit of time, if I have milk which is milked in order to make cheese, I can drink it as when it's still milk. That doesn't work, they say. It's only mutter when it becomes cheese. In the interim stage, before it became cheese, it's like in a kind of twilight zone. It's permissible to make cheese from, but not permissible to drink plain because of this sort of chalav akum. Okay?
Like that step there.
What?
It's like a step.
Similar to that step over there, right? The converse. Sorry. But where's everybody going? We have two more minutes. The thing is that butter is also the same. Butter is similar in terms that butter also, that you can't make butter out of milk, which is treif. You can only make butter out of kosher milk, again because of fat content or whatever. The question is though, milk powder, and this is a big shail in Eretz Yisrael, because in Israel tznuva, in order to supplement the I'm not sure exactly why they do this, but they water down the milk and then they put in milk powder. I guess it's cheaper that way. Instead of giving you whole milk, they water it down, and then they put in milk powder in order to bring it back up again. So the milk powder comes from chutz laretz.
Water down skim milk?
Right? What?
How do you water down skim milk?
No, milk in America is 4% milk. Milk in Israel is 3%. Even whole milk is 3%. What? So somehow or another, but that 3% is also partially milk powder. I don't know why they do it this way. That's the way they do it. What?
Talking about 4% being the butter fat content.
Right.
But I mean, it's supposed to be 100% from cows,
rather than milk. 100% cows. Right, 100% cows. But I'm saying they dilute it some. I don't know exactly what they do, but in any event,
you're going to add powder, then you dilute it with water, and then you add the
something like that. So they use the powder milk comes from chutz laretz. So the shaila is, what is powder milk have to be chol b'sorol or not? There's a big shaila for those of us who keep chol b'sorol also because of Dunkin' Donuts. Because Dunkin' Donuts only uses powdered milk, not whole milk. So it's three pesach frank is makel on powdered milk. Chaznish is also makel on powdered milk. Chaznish is makel. Chazish is made because of the pre-chadosh. The Chazish is made because of the pre-chadosh. He says, again, he says, based on what he said, that they're clearly not going to mix in trade milk. Same thing can be made on the powder. But see, based on a slightly different story, he says that clearly it's not profitable for them, sort of to variation on the theme, but similar. Even though you can make powdered milk from donkey's milk, because powdered milk doesn't entail curdling. It just implies, it just entails evaporating. So you can evaporate liquid from any type of milk. Nonetheless, the fat content is so small, you're going to be left with much less solids from donkey milk and horse milk than you are from cow's milk. Therefore, he says, the odds are they're not going to do it. Even if they do it, they're only going to do it in very small amounts, and then the risk comes into play. Since the majority of milk they're going to evaporate is going to be kosher milk, for a little amount of milk, which they might solidify, which is going to be donkey milk, we're not kosher. That doesn't come into play because it's such a small amount, it's not profitable, it's not worthwhile. If they do it, it's going to be mevutal. Therefore, for that and for other reasons, Ratzi Pesach is mekel on powdered milk. Now, one final point I want to bring up, just before we finish, is the question of whey. You ever stop to wonder, have you ever noticed how many products contain whey? Lots of products. Do you think all that whey comes from Miller's cheese? Or Migdal cheese? That whey comes from Kraft cheese. The shaila is, how do we rely on this? If the whey is coming from the non-kosher cheese, how can we use it? So Bishlama, if you hold of Chalav Akum, okay, fine and dandy, because then you say, anyway, what's the milk which is left? The milk which is left comes from, even if you hold the Chalav Akum, it's going to be a problem, because what's left when you make cheese? The whey. The whey is not with the Chalav, but maybe that's coming from trade milk. Maybe that's why it didn't solidify. So how can you eat any product which contains whey? How can you, unless the whey comes from kosher, from Chol Yisrael, not just from kosher cheese, even from Migdal or Miller's cheese, it should be problematic, because they're using Chol Avakum to make the cheese. What's left over, the whey, should be problematic. The whey should be a problem of Chol Avakum. It should be that is maybe the Tomei milk which is left over. So Ramosha discusses that. Ramosha says the whey is permissible since we hold that in the United States, all milk is milk for cheese. It's all milk is milk for cheese. Therefore, all of that milk is considered to be, so to speak, beyond the parameters which normally require Chol Yisrael. It's clear that a goy is not going to use trade milk in order to make cheese, because that type of milk doesn't make cheese properly. So therefore, in this case, we assume that the halacha is like Rabbi Tam, even though the Rishonim argue on it. The Rambam holds the reason why cheese is okay is because you can get rid of all the whey. The Rambam says the reason why cheese is okay even with made from Chalav Akum is not because a goy won't mix in trade milk. A goy will mix in trade milk. But after you make the cheese, you take away all the whey. That's why it's permissible. So according to the Rambam, one would have to be machmir not to eat any whey in the United States. But according to Reb Moshe, since we rely on Rabbeinu Tam, we say no goy is going to mix in any Chalav Akum in making cheese, any Chalav Tomei in making cheese. Therefore, it's clear that all the milk which goes into making cheese is kosher milk. Therefore, all byproducts which come from it are considered to be kosher milk. So even though the cheese itself we can't eat, the Kraft cheese we can't eat because of special gzeira on the cheese, because it's kvino shalakul, because originally they used trefrenet, the whey we can use, the whey is going to be permissible. So those people, even who call the Chol Yisrael, see, I'm trying to make it give you an incentive to rely on to be machmir and Chol Yisrael, because there's so many things you can make on even if you hold on Chol Yisrael. But even those people who are machmir and Chol Yisrael, nonetheless they can be make on whey, assuming that they're make on cheese. Because the reason why they're make on cheese is because we hold that all milk which is milk in the United States is milk which is milk for cheese, and so much of it goes for cheese. Therefore, whey must be coming from milk which is clearly tar, because no guy would be an idiot to put in a Chol Tomei in cheese which has to become, in milk which is going to become cheese. Therefore, for sure, the byproducts which are left over are Chol Tahar and not Chol Tomei.
You said
part of
the milk was okay.
When CRC goes to Becker's,
and they put their hashgacha on it.
Yeah.
Now, they're only saying that there's nothing trafe that's been put into the milk in the dairy itself.
That's right.
They don't test the milk.
What's the necessity?
I don't even know if they have an inspector who comes to the plant. They might just put the CRC, maybe just be paid for the right to have the CRC on the milk.
Yeah. Sure, someone from CRC.
Somebody has to
look at it.
Why should they?
They're not going to make anything. Because they have a
shkocha
on it. So what? They don't need a mashgiach. You think they go down to Procter & Gamble to the OU sends mashgiachim down to Procter & Gamble to see how tide is made? They have no one tide. No, they just tie. They just give them OU.
There's a difference.
But I don't know why they need that.
Check the CRC. I don't think they do that.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.